Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio, the Double L Show. Just reading the chat room here, and one of our faithful listeners, Gator Dave, is talking about he's going to Cuba tomorrow. He's going to bring us back cigars, I hope. Now, but just to fill everybody in who's in the chat room real quick before that little thread goes by, Dave, yeah, he just put up, he's a support team for Diana Nyad. She's a lady who tried just recently to swim from Cuba to Florida, and she's making another attempt at it. And Dave's going to be the kayak support for the lady trying for that one more time. So, yeah.
Are you on your headphones?
Why, does it sound bad?
Yeah, you got echo. You sound a little bit mumbled.
That's all I got, so sorry. No studio here. I'll try to move the mic around. Chip hasn't sent the full-fledged studio setup yet to our house, so once that gets here, hopefully it'll be better, but I got it. So anyway, so I just wanted to fill everybody in, but Dave did a good job of doing it. So good luck, Dave. Have a safe trip down there, and that's an awesome thing you're doing. Very cool. Anyway, like I was saying, welcome everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We got a lot to cover tonight. We have our guest on the phone already. He's Mark Patterson from North Carolina Kayak Fishing Association. He's going to give us a rundown on last weekend's Oak Island tournament. Hopefully, Kayak Kevin and Rob Troy are going to be calling in this evening. We have, all right, Rob's on the phone, Chris just told me. So we got, we're going to go through the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards, too, tonight. So if anybody missed that last night on Redfish Chuck Show or you have not seen it on Yak Angler yet, we'll run through all that. Virginia had a great showing in that little contest that they had going on between on Yak Angler. So we have two of our local winners that are going to be on the phone with us tonight just so we can all publicly congrats them and see what they got going on. And when Kevin calls in, I believe our other caller, Mark Patterson, has some questions for him. So we got a lot to cover tonight. And let's see, what else have we got besides for that? We'll do some local fishing reports. I think I've been saying it all year that I thought fall in southeast Virginia was going to be really good and turning out to be just what I was hopefully predicting right. Trout are starting to really show up well. Red drum are getting a lot bigger, inshore that is anyway. The big reds off the shore are kind of slowly making their way out of town. Every one of these cool fronts that come in, they keep going further and further south. They're coming your way, Mr. Patterson. They're coming your way. So as you already know, I guess you got into them the other day. But, yeah, so we got a lot going on here. Striper bite starting to turn on. Let's see what else. Got into a lot of little gray trout the other night. I had two clients who came down for a trip on Sunday night, and then we went back out Monday morning. Went to the HRVT. I've been hearing from everybody that the HRVT for stripers had been better on the outgoing, but the outgoing was going to be a little too late for us to be able to still get up Monday morning and go where we were going to fish. So we did the incoming, caught a mixed bag of everything from little pups to speckled trout, gray trout, flounder, no stripers though, but like I said, I've heard the outgoing has been better, so if you're going to go to the HRVT and you can time yourself right, go ahead and look for that outgoing current. I don't know who flips the switch out there that tells them stripers which time they're supposed to eat at, but whoever works that switch wasn't working it the other night. But anyway, where exactly were you? Where was I exactly where? I just said HRVT, Tom. I don't know if that's what he's asking me. All right, sounds better. Good. All right, so what else we got to cover? Yeah, and then Monday morning we went back out, and I have to say, honestly, we've been doing this guide thing for a little while now, and Monday couldn't have scripted any better. We had a full morning, a lot of nice trout and reds, trout over 20 inches and reds hovering around the 18-inch mark, a couple just over. And not those little ones aren't little anymore. We didn't really get into anything under 16 inches, I guess, maybe 115, I think. Other than that, we had quite a busy day. So, like I said, fall is going to be on target around here. So you guys get out there. Speckled trout bite. I had this got a lot of good intel this past weekend working at the tackle shop. The Elizabeth River is definitely doing very well for speckled trout. And not to be funny or anything, but basically from the Great Bridge locks all the way up past the Steel Bridge. I haven't heard a bad report yet coming out of the Elizabeth River. So it's going to be really good when this cold weather gets here. They'll stick around, as we all know, the hot ditch, quote-unquote, area. So it's going to be a good winter for the trout, I think, too. So as long as we don't get a cold, cold winter like we had a couple of years ago, that's my biggest fear nowadays is after we had that snap a couple of years ago, it took us quite a while here to recover. I hope that we don't see that again. But anyway, that should be really good. So you guys get out there and get on them while they're here. It's time. It's definitely time. So anyway, enough of me babbling about the local report. Let's see. Mark, you ready? How's it going over there, Mr. Patterson? Are you on?
Crystal, got it's you going. It's, you got me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you loud and clear. Radio check.
It's been going very well. Thanks for having me on your show.
No, thanks for being here. And you guys just wrapped up your Oak Island tournament, part of the NCKFA year-long tournaments that you guys have going on.
Yes, we did. We got one tournament left in the tournament series. We got the Specs and Spots, and that's November the 10th for Wounded Warriors. Some of the proceeds go to that. And we just finished up the Classic. We had 171 featured anglers. We had about 168 show up. It was what happened to us was again we kind of modeled it. We looked at the TKAA and you guys up there as, you know, the grandfather and the Rolls Royce of the kayak tournaments here in the South. And so we kind of modeled it after you guys. And I don't know if I ever want to be. I don't think, number one, we would be. But I really admire the job you and Wayne and all your staff do up there. I mean, that's just to put on. I'd never done one that was this large. We went from the first year, 68, next year, 98, and then we originally were only going to have 125 spots, but we opened registration September the 1st, and in 72 hours we'd filled it. So,
Mark, I can tell you from experience, what were you at now? What was Oak Island this year? Was that your third or fourth?
Third.
Third. Well, on the third year of PKAA, if you would have told us on the eighth year we would have had 275. I would have told you whatever it was you were using was probably illegal to quit using it. So, no, don't say that because you'll never, you're probably going to be chewing your own words eventually. Unless you put a cap on it, I don't think there's probably a ceiling that's unattainable out there nowadays. I mean, if Jacksonville is over 400 and some, so granted that's in Florida, but...
Well, what was really interesting this year is we noticed that we had people as far away as Maryland. We were honored to have quite a few of your TKA guys come down, and that's always nice to see those guys. And we had a lot of people from South Carolina. We had some guys out of Florida, a lot of Malibu guys. So it was like I say, it was very humbling and overwhelming. All at the same time, just the logistics of, and as you know, I gotta figure out some way to do a faster way to tally all the fish at the end, you know, to kind of, I want to get everybody out of there as quick as I can, but you got to be accurate, and there's got to be a faster way. We just haven't discovered it yet. Maybe I can pick your brain later on that. So.
Yeah, good luck with that.
You know, Mark, how about female anglers? How many female anglers did you have?
We had, this year we had 11, and 20% of their entry fee was matched by the NCKFA with a, you know, matching funds to, and it was a pink kayak by Crescent Kayak, so that money went to breast cancer from them, and our winner was Jackie Hosselstein. She's a local. She works for the Parks and Rec Department here with a 26-inch redfish, and she actually is a breast cancer survivor, which is, you know, it's horrible that she had breast cancer, but pretty ironic, and it was wonderful to see, you know, the irony actually work out in a sweet, nice way. She was just
That is very cool. What's the, What's the chances? Yeah. Very cool. Well, congrats.
And the other thing that was kind of neat, and I'll get back to the story, of course, but this was so neat. There was only two turtle sites left on Oak Island. That's our primary fundraising. That's what we do is raise the money for the sea turtle protection program here on Oak Island. And there was two nesting sites left. And on Saturday night after the tournament, I got a call that said, come on down to 19th Street. The turtles are hatching. And Spencer Cook from IR was actually staying with us. So I think they were very adamant he couldn't use flash photography. But I think he actually got some shots of the 58 little sea turtles. They make little ramps, like they put buffers on each side. It looks like a little runway for the turtles to the beach. And then they lead them down with a lantern to the beach. So they'll follow that light. So he got some pictures. I don't know. Hopefully they'll turn out well. We'll put them on our Facebook page.
Aww.
But that was
very cool.
They were, I got to say, they were pretty dang cute. They were pretty awesome.
Nice.
How about youth? Did you have a significant youth entry, Mark?
You know, we only had five, and that's partially to my knowledge here in North Carolina, we don't have any other tournaments that have a youth division. And again, we looked, why reinvent the wheel when you have such a good role model in you guys up there? And we know you guys had a youth division, and I think it's so important in sport to get the younger people. I mean, I'm 40 now, you know, so I mean, you gotta get the younger people. Someone's gotta follow on, and so we did put the call out, and we put it out a little late because I didn't have a kayak actually for that division until we blew it out with so many so fast, and I went back to all my sponsors and said, look, we've got an opportunity here with this many more people. And what we do a lot of the times with the money that people send in to register for the event, because again we're not as well known as TKAA, they don't just give us a boat. Like sometimes they'll say we'll give you, you know, a deep discount, but we still normally have to buy quite a few of our boats. But you know, it's a great deal. So we raise enough money fast enough. I try to really build up our captain's bags and our raffle stuff with the money that we get. So I have a lot of the kayak companies on standby. So I went back to James Decker of Crescent Kayak, and I said, you know, what's the best deal you can give me on a kayak that's suitable for, you know, a younger angler? And they gave me a great deal, so I bundled it with the pink breast cancer kayak and shipped them right to the house.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I actually had the boat in hand, I put up we were having a youth division. So and our winner was Charles Mayes with a 16 3/4-inch redfish. And but we had prizes for all their junior angles, Akuma rods and reels for all of them. So that was nice. Everybody went home with something.
Our youth division winner this year at TK actually ended up donating her kayak to Howe.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh,
that's
at 12 years old, Rick Burnley. I'm sorry, the first name escaped me right offhand, but Mrs. Young Burnley ended up donating the kayak. I mean, right on the spot, didn't hesitate, marched right up, and we were all in a bit of shock. But everybody, little girl, got a standing ovation. It was very, very cool.
Well, that is. Well, I did see the photos on Facebook of her there donating. So that was, and that's the other thing. You guys just do a great job of is utilization of Facebook. And again, We're just glad to have you guys to look to try to use as a role model. It makes my job easier.
I'll pay you later, Patterson. I'll pay you later.
Thank you. The check's in the mail. Okay. And just quick before your other guests get on, I want to recognize our other anglers. We did have in the fly division, all these people have such difficult names actually here. Greg Halbart, he had a combination of 11.5-11.5-inch trout and a 14.5-inch flounder, so he won the really nice fly rod and reel donated by Carolina Mountain Sports. In the trout division, Mac Brady with a 20.5-inch trout. The redfish, Phil Dark, with a 27 3/4-inch red. And the slam division, a perennial winner, and was Mr. Bob Danton. He's a co-president, along with Joey Sullivan, of the Carolina Yakfish Series, one of another great house program down here, and they do the Carolina Yakfish, and Bob is the co-president. He also won the bat largemouth division in our spring battle in the borough. So he's we supplied him with a lot of kayaks this year. And I'm actually
now, do you keep a year long total? Do you have like an angler of the year kind of thing, or is it just individual?
What we do is we have Hobie, has gracious Hobie and GOPC, Great Outdoor Provision Company, have went in together and sponsored our Angler of the Year online tournament. And what we have is we have a it runs, I think it's 9 months, and you have to fish each. You get to total your largest four wins. I know this is kind of confusing for everybody. Basically, you have one fish per month. The winner of that month and the top three get prizes, but everybody through 10 gets points. Whoever has the most total points in their top four finishes wins Hobie Pro Angler. Second place is a $500 Hobie prize pack, and third place is a $300. And I'm in second, diligently chasing Mr. Joey Sullivan. And this is Redfish Month, and I need Kayak Kevin to tell me what I'm supposed to do, because I'm down here at Yopon Beach, and we're paddling out to the reef that's about a mile and a half off the beach and dropping down finger mullet, and I'm just not man enough to get them off the bottom and in the boat. We had some over 40 inches on, but I haven't been able to get them. Maybe I need heavier equipment or something. We're just getting crushed out here by these big things. And I see you guys up there, you know, jerking them in the boat left and right. So I need some help.
Oh, yeah. They just dive in, Mark. You pretty much just paddle around and they jump right in the boat. It's not very hard.
It looks about that easy on the videos. I mean,
You know, Rob Choi is with us. He just as easily can tell you how they land the big reds. Rob Choi does, too.
Well, any information I can get to get them off the wreck. Once you finally get the bait by the ribbon fish, the blue fish, the Spanish, and the shark, and then you get hooked up, they're breaking us off down there on the wrecks.
Well, we got Rob on the phone, and Kevin's going to call him. But you know what, Rob, thanks, and can you hang out for a few more minutes?
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Crack another top, because before we get to Rob, then, and Mark, we really appreciate you. You're going to hang out with us, right, Mark?
It'll be an honor. Thank you very much.
All right, you stick it out. We're going to go ahead. So before I get to Rob, I want to go ahead and run through the Choice Awards, the Kayak Angler Choice Awards results. They were announced last night on Redfish Chuck Show, and in case anybody missed them, I'm just going to run through them. I'm not going to make it a big, long, drawn-out thing. We're going to go ahead and go through the top three for each division, and I have to say I'm pretty proud of the good old state of Virginia. We had a lot of great showings in there, and we had a lot of great placements, so... But overall, everybody who participated, we really appreciate it. I know they said that the voting came in fast and furious. I'm sure Chip and Mark and Adam are glad it's over with. I couldn't imagine the headache of trying to tabulate all this and get it all lined up. After listening to Chuck Show last night also, it sounds like everything was real close here, too. I mean, a lot of the things they were announcing last night within 3 and 4 and 5 votes from third place to second and fourth to third. So, but anyway, I'll go ahead and read through these, and then we're going to get to our other callers, Rob, and hopefully Kevin will call in by then. So in no particular order, I'm just going to read through the different categories. So coincidentally enough, blog of the year, third place was Saltwater Kayak Fisherman, Rob Appleby. Second place was Kayak Angler by Jake Stelz. And first place was Angling Addict, Rob Choi. So congratulations to all of you, and especially congratulations to the winner, Mr. Choi. Then on to the online video of the year. Third place was Addiction, Kayak Fishing. Guess who that is? Dum, dum, dum. Another one. Very good, Mr. Choi. Epic Day of Kayak Fishing in the Gulf. And then Jackson Kayak, live. Flying Fish. If you have not watched that one, that's a pretty good one, too, I have to say. I did not watch it until last night, but after watching it, it was pretty wild how they filmed that with the from the air. So, anyway, moving on. Location of the year. Third place, Chesapeake Bay, Virginia. Second place was Lady Bird Lake, Austin, Texas. And another Texas was first place, the Devil's River. That was pretty cool. Juan Verrett took that trip down there. We talked to Juan earlier this year about that. So, very cool. On to the online tournament of the year. The Florida Sportsman's Kayak Challenge got third place. Kayak Bass Fishing Challenge Series got second. And Kayak Wars was first place for the online tournament of the year. Then on to tournament of the year with the River Bass and Tournament Trail in third. Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Classic was second, and the IFA Kayak Tour first place. Retailer of the Year, another poll for Virginia, Appomattox River Company got third, Hook One second, and Austin Canoe and Kayak got first place. So Virginia and Texas are holding strong so far. And let's see, most innovative product of the year, overboard fishing rods. Hobie Pro Angler 12, and first place was Jackson's Kayak High Seat Adjustable. Magazine of the Year, Coastal Angler, was third place, Kayak Fishing Magazine second, and first Kayak Angler Magazine. Forum of the Year, Kayak Bass Fishing, Austin Kayak Fishing second, and Texas Kayak Fishermen got first place on that. Where am I at? Okay, Kayak of the Year. Third place was Hobie Outback. Second, Jackson Kayak Sakuta 14. And I figured this one was going to go because it's definitely the Hobie Pro Angler 12 got first place there. Guide of the Year, Dean Thomas from Texas. Justin Carter from South Carolina. And Dee Kaminsky, Guide of the Year, first place. Congratulations, you three, for that. And then coming up to Angler of the Year, Justin Carter again, Drew Gregory, and our very own local kayak, Kevin Whitley, got Angler of the Year. So congratulations to everyone, everyone who won, everybody who placed. Good job. Great job to everybody for voting. And like I said, thanks to Skip, Mark, and Adam for putting all that together and taking it over because it's got to be a headache. But anyway, so. With that being said, our other caller on the line, Mr. Rob Choi. Rob, you still with us?
Yeah, man, I'm still here.
Hey, well, congratulations, buddy.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Thank you. I'm still kind of at a loss for words because I really didn't know. I really didn't think I was gonna, you know, place in there because I wasn't promoting myself. I just kind of, you know, was doing other things, and you know, I can't really thank my readers enough. That's quite an honor.
You didn't have to you promote yourself all year long by turning out those great blogs and doing everything you do. So I think that speaks volumes for you and what you're writing and what you're doing out there. I give you credit, buddy, because I have trouble writing my monthly articles, let alone the weekly blogs and everything you turn out. So obviously kayak community is reading them and they're listening and they're paying attention because you got the nod, so to speak. So congrats.
Yeah. Feels good. Thank you.
And then you got the third on the video.
Yeah, I was pretty stoked about that too. I mean, you can't kind of hard to compete with the Jackson one. That the helicopter views on that's just amazing.
I feel bad for not have watched it or seen it beforehand, but I watched it last night. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, when I first saw it a couple months ago, I was like, wow. You know, it's not exactly my type of fishing, but it was enjoyable to watch, and then the angles that they came up with is just phenomenal, and you know, great soundtrack, great you know, editing and all that. So, and also congrats to I think it's Brandon Barton for his second place one, the Epic Day in the Gulf. That was, I mean, you don't get to see that kind of footage very often, you know, especially from a kayak.
Right.
The dolphin and the sailfish. And also, I mean, Marty Mood up in there. That was awesome.
Very cool. So how you been doing lately? You been down in the water? You got any fish?
Unfortunately, I haven't. Well, the last couple times I've been out, it just hasn't worked my way, so I couldn't get on any fish. And my wife is in a transition phase with her new job and kids obviously needing stuff. And me being out of town also every once in a while for work. So I haven't been able to do a whole lot, but it's coming. I'm sure I'll get back on it.
Very cool, very cool. Well, I know we have Kayak Kevin who was supposed to call in, but he'd be calling after 8:30, but Mr. Patterson sitting here. He's waiting for some help.
Desperately. I'm here for three more days. I gotta stick a big fish, and then I'll be in a Hobie Pro angler. So I
You know what I find even funnier about all that, Mark, and maybe he's listening or not. I haven't spoke with Jerry Dilsaver in quite some time, and just happened to talk to him tonight. And the first thing he said to me was, "You gotta ask Patterson what's the name of the reef about the reef
yoke,
that he fished on." Yeah, and
I
then
got
he said,
smoked.
He said all he saw was you going up and down the reef, being towed by a redfish up and down all day. He said, I don't think he landed one, but he got towed around.
Well, I'll tell you. Let me give you my excuse for today, really quick. I got a good one. We originally went out there for Spanish, right? Because I didn't know, that they were that big out there. So we originally went out there for Spanish. We get out there, and there's like 12 boats. I mean, like real big boats who are obviously surprised we're out there, number one. And I must say, very gracious, or they were probably thought we were just insane. But anyway, they were all anchored up, and I'm seeing they're bringing these giant redfish, at least they were giant to us, to the boat and unhooking them. So I watched, you know, I'm like, let me see how these guys are doing that. And they were just dropping finger mullet down, and I was like, well, I can do that. Of course, now I did have my Spanish mackerel rod, so I would drop it down, and you would feel, you know, the thump, and I was like, that's a big flounder. And I set the hook, and then I was like, well, that's about all I got there. And the next 20 or 30 minutes until they finally the first two I hooked, I thought I was hung on the wreck. I mean, I don't know what I'll just be quiet and listen from the master. What am I supposed to do here?
Just out of curiosity, Mark, did you ever get to see their eyes?
I got one, I got one probably, well, that was my second problem. I got one about 10 feet under the kayak, and I'm in the Mariner. So at that moment, it hit me because, you know, you got the pedals there right in front of your feet. So I'm thinking, all right, now, you know, it's kind of like the dog chasing the car. I'm like, if I get this to the side of the kayak, where do I put it for the photo, for the hero shot? Because I got these props right here. So I got a lot of problems I need some help with, to be quite honest. Yeah, I did, and it was pretty intimidating.
That's some logistical issues there. Sure, but
yeah.
I mean, this guy's big, big old Hobie is doing that too. So I mean, I think it's a matter of, like, once you do get it close to the boat, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the leg scoop action, but I mean, once you get it, it's definitely the leg scoop. And once you use the leg scoop, that head and majority of the body are up on your waist area almost, and then the tail could go along to the side of where your pedals are. So, and I think grab it by the gill slit if you can. Grab, or if you know the hook set is good, the hook is not coming out, you can, depending on the leader you have. I mean, I pulled it up by just, you know, wrapping the leader around my hand and pulling up as my leg is lifting the rest of the body into the kayak.
Okay.
But you
and
do
what,
obviously
what's
you,
the
can,
leader?
You can't play with little leader. Yeah, I'm talking 50 to 60, if not more.
Yeah, we went out and bought some today.
yeah. I mean, Kevin,
about,
I think Kevin
what,
doesn't go
feet?
Under.
3 feet?
No, I use 60
about,
to 80.
Something like that.
I use 60
no,
to 80.
I'm in here too now. All right, I'm just going
to
step back.
Kevin
and,
in there too. All right, there you go. I'll let Kevin talk.
I just want to let everybody know that Kayak Kevin's on the phone now too, so you guys just
hear you.
Be gentle to the phone, because once you start talking over each other, it's just going to turn into New York subway. It's going
to
sound like the New York subway lady.
Rob's on a total right track with all that, what he's saying. But I use 60 to 80-pound leader, and 80 is way more comfortable on your hand than 60 or even 50. 50 is going to bite into your hand a little bit. So if you can get
you heard that today,
didn't
you, Patterson?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I said I think you heard that advice earlier today.
Yeah, okay. So, oh, yeah, by you this morning. Thank you, yes.
Because you called, he called me today, and I got him lined up to come on the show tonight, and no sooner did he say, yeah, I'll do the show, and then he said, what the hell are you guys doing up there to catch these big fish? That's all he had. He's like, holy cow. He's like, I'm getting drug all around this reef. I can't land it. So I said, well, you're coming on the right night, so we got some gurus here that'll help you out, but it was pretty fun.
Okay, so 80-pound leader is what you're telling me, correct?
Yeah, and that's mainly for the leader grab. That's when you wrap your hand around that leader and get a leader wrap that it's a little bit more comfortable. I don't go under 60 because a big fish will put 60 pounds of pressure on it, especially when you grab the leader. That's the worst time. That's the time it's either going to snap or not going to snap is when you grab it because there's no more drag on it. Your
right.
arm is the drag at that point.
Okay. Yeah. And now, what type of hook are you using?
The big old circle hooks.
What hook are you using?
Oh, what hooks?
Big old, like,
10-aught owner circle hooks.
Okay. So you're just tightening the drag down, letting the fish move off, and then just reeling down to the fish and start fighting the fish, correct?
Well, as soon as the fish hooks up, I'm reeling down on them. I'm super tight drag and trying to tighten up to them as much as I can.
Okay, because that happened a lot. We would fill the hook up, but we just couldn't lift the fish. I mean, it would just stay down, I guess. Like I say, we're using a little bit heavier gear than for the Spanish tomorrow. So hopefully that will work. Now, once you get it in the boat, you're just kind of cradling it for a quick shot. And how do I resuscitate the fish before I let it go?
Well, usually if you fight the fish hard and you know, heavy gear and fight them hard, they'll revive pretty quickly. When you get the fish in the boat, you know, how Rob said, you got the tail towards your feet and you kind of cradle them in your legs. You can reach up underneath the gill plate, and there's a little handle with Big Reggie. There's a little handle up towards his chin. So you can actually slide your fingers up, not in the gills, but right in on the gill plate, slide it up almost to his chin, and you can get two fingers in there, and you can actually get a hold of him that way. And then your other hand, below the, not on the belly, but back near the tail.
Hey, time out. Before Speckled Trout Joe has an aneurysm in the chat room, what pound braid are you guys using? Because Joe's about to fall out of his damn chair.
My
pound braid?
Lightest I go is 50, and on my heavy rods I got 65.
And mine's
good. Okay, and you're using braids.
All right, Joe, you can start breathing now.
Yeah.
Start breathing, Joe.
Yep.
Okay, just using the braids for no stretch. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And,
all right.
And when you're talking about not being able to get them off the bottom, I'm using musky rods. That's the lightest rod I use for reds, especially in deeper water or any big fish, is a musky rod. And that thing's rated up to 3-6 ounces. You know, so
okay,
some
bigger rods. Yeah, I got a bigger, like when we go flat, because again, we weren't expecting it. We got some bigger tuner rods that we can use for big blue catfish and big flathead catfish.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to use tomorrow.
When I'm targeting big reds in shallow water, I don't need to use that torque for that heavy lifting. If I'm targeting big reds in 5 foot of water, I'm using rods, you know, medium heavy rods, up to maybe a 2 ounce rod, St. Croix rods and Shimano rods, stuff like that, basically bait casting rods. But
right.
If you're in 20 foot of water and you got a red, you know, 50 inch red, he's on the bottom and he's going to slowly get up. You need torque. You need that rod torque to be able to pull them up.
Okay.
Yeah, I had guys out with me a while back, and they hooked into a couple with some lighter action rods, and they took forever to bring them up. So it's definitely, yeah, you want some fingers
and
mass on it for sure.
No, and it was.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. The reason I got towed around so long on the first one because I didn't know what the heck it was. I was just like, is that a, you know, and, you know, I was like, I just want to see this. And then I saw it, and I was like, oh, my, well, now, okay, that's really good. Now what do I do? So I didn't have to really worry about it because when it went back down, it broke me off. But, okay, now, the one final thing, yeah, we're in about 40 or 45 feet of water. So that's where we need some help with the power.
Another thing real quick.
We were at.
another little quick technique is short pumping, just like you would do with tuna. You know, maybe get an inch of line, pull up. That almost kind of tricks the fish because it's not a big pull and then he has runs. You kind of trick him by kind of slowly inching him up a little bit at a time, and you can kind of bring him up that way.
Okay. Well, I wish tomorrow was Tuesday so I could call and give you the report.
Well, we'll look for your report online. So check, post up something on Facebook or something. We'll come find you.
Yeah, I'll do that. And what I'll do too is I'll at least get my friends to get some pictures of me with the rod bent. So that part I can guarantee. There might not be a shot at the end of that, but that part I feel pretty good about. So,
we want to see you water skiing behind that red. We want to see you
That was earlier in the week. Tomorrow is serious business week.
Okay. Mark, well, I got one more tip then. I got if you find in boats or if you know that there's fish down there that you run into the school and one guy picked one up already and you got a big chunk of finger mullet down there, you can also jig for them too. That's what we were doing out there at Sandbridge. Get like a 2 or 3 ounce bucktail, put a big old piece of gulp on there, like the 6-inch swimming mullet or one of those big curly tails. And shoot, it doesn't even have to be gulp. I had one on. It was a regular plastic on there. Just jig that up and down while you're soaking the bait. And shoot, we had more hookups on the jigs than we had on the cut bait because the sharks mess with the cut bait. So.
Well, that was my other problem. I had to get through, like I say, there were ribbon fish that looked, you know, like silver snakes down there. We had to get through those. Then we had to get through the bluefish, and then we had to get through the sharks. So I was wondering if there was something like that, because I have that 6-inch swimming mullet that, believe it or not, I cut it in half, I mean, like half off the ground. And that's what I flounder fish with because it's so long and curly. That works great. We caught some real nice flounder, but I thought maybe that would work, but I just didn't know. I thought, I know they're biting finger mullet. I don't have a lot of time here at the coast, so I thought I better go with what I know works. But I would like to eliminate all that other garbage to get to them. So
like Rob said, if you find them and you're in them, they're aggressive. Anything moving, they'll hit it. So you can jig down there, and you have a good chance to get them.
Okay, that's a great tip. That would eliminate a lot of problems because those rhythm fish, I got to figure out those are like vipers.
Don't knock the ribbon fish. We had somebody land a, 2-inch ribbon fish in Winnebago.
What?
When they might come.
This is Allie Brooks, man.
Yep. What? Jay Brooks' wife. We had in our boondoggle, Patterson, we had a Barbie rod, kitty rod tournament, and she landed a 33-inch?
32 or 33-inch.
Yeah,
well,
so.
We should have won.
We see you with a big ribbon tomorrow, Mark. At least if anything else, if we're not going to get to see you water ski across the reef, at least we're going to see you with a big ribbon.
I can guarantee that because I caught about 30 of those. I wish I would have called them 2 weeks ago and I could have sold them to the King Mackerel Anglers. But
we'll have you call back in when we're going to do a ribbon fish show one night.
That'd be
fun. Everybody has a specialty.
I know Jay is listening. We're going to have to make sure we get Allie on the line for the ribbon fish show.
Yeah, that's right. You're on the phone.
Well, I appreciate
all right, Mark.
All the
well, help. I hope you were taking notes.
I got my paper right here, so I'll see how it goes tomorrow.
Make sure you got it right now. Not 50-pound leader and 80-pound braid. It was 50 and 80.
Well, I was fine right up until that point. I really appreciate that, Laser. My fingers will get sliced off tomorrow thanks to you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. Don't grab it. All right. Well, without we didn't get an introduction for him. He came in a little late there, right into the topic of the red drum for Mark Patterson. But Kaya, Kevin, we want to congratulate you on Angler of the Year.
Thank you. I can push a button. He has his own intro.
Oh. That's what Mark Hampton's going to sound like out there tomorrow on the reef.
That's so true.
Well, yes, definitely. We had a great show in there, Virginia, and we already had Rob. We went through the whole wrist. I don't know if you were here when I ran through it, but Virginia pulled its weight pretty well, I think, this year in the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards, and we got our two big winners right here with us live tonight. So, like I said, we just wanted to make sure I asked you two to call in tonight just so we could personally congratulate you and thank you and helping put Virginia on the map, not only putting yourselves on the map, but definitely some support out there. So very cool, guys. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
We got a great fishery, man.
Yeah, we do.
Pioneer, obviously, we just got an awesome fishery. That's what it is.
Yeah, see, that guy was third on the Chesapeake Bay was third on the top places of fish, something like that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, the only week it's not good is the week of the boondoggle if you were
dumb. Kevin still pulled in a 51 inch.
Yeah, Kevin, yeah,
they
Kevin
brought
took
in a
to school out there. Yeah, Kevin
yeah,
went to
Irish
school
Gene
out there.
Hooked one. Irish Gene hooked one.
Gene
got
one, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Very cool. So what's on the list now, Kevin? Are you switching gears? Are you about done with the Big Reds? I know they're moving out. You guys, you and Rob both, I guess. And what's next on the list now? Are we getting into tog mode?
That's it.
The big striper mode. So it's tog mode now, right?
Yep, getting into tog mode, definitely. They're starting to bite pretty good. And, you know, they're good from the next 15-degree temperatures, you know, from down to 55, they're going to be good. So for the next month and a half or so, we're going to be starting to really target that. And I'm still going to start hitting the inlets for looking for specs and all that good stuff, too. So, yeah,
they're on now. There's some great specs out there. Togs, let's just talk about togs real quick. We got a few more minutes left for tonight, and that's going to be as you two are saying, you're going to be targeting them next. So,
Mark?
Are you – yes?
Somebody in the chat room asked one of our Floridian friends, what is a tog?
That's a good question. And for your North Carolina friends, too.
Well, let's see how we describe it. Yeah, for North Carolina friends, too. Well, if you're from this part of the region, it's a tog. The guys who I took fishing yesterday, they kept saying blackfish to me, and every time they asked me, it took me a second to register when they said
Right.
Same fish. Yeah.
When
they say blackfish, when around here black sea bass, I guess when somebody says black something on the fish scale. So, but yeah, I don't know what's the best way to describe a tog, a rock dwelling wreck type of fish that will make you say words on the water that you don't normally say.
they're in the raft.
Well, clean
the
your hook.
Family.
There you go. Yeah, they'll clean
the
your hook.
Family. Yeah. They're structure oriented. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're frustrating little creatures at times, but an awesome eating fish too. But yeah, they are definitely a work to them.
It's a lot like wreck fishing for those who, you know, down south and stuff like that. You know, you're putting your baits right into the rocks and into the the structure, and I guess it's maybe a little bit like grouper fishing because you really got to get them up and out of the structure because togs, they can actually wedge themselves in between rock and that's like their thing. That's like their defense mechanism, and they'll do that as soon as you hook them, they'll dive into the rock. So that's the deal with them. It's very specialized fishery.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I'm not trying to say it's easier from a kayak, but it is much better from a kayak, in my opinion, than from a boat. Because if anybody's ever fished for tog from a boat, you can be standing almost shoulder to shoulder with somebody else. And they're on the hole, and you're not, literally feet apart, and you will just watch that guy bail fish. And until you knock him, do a large hip check and get him out of the way. I have been out there tog fishing many a times on a regular boat, and just if you're not standing just right, and plus lining it up on the boat, it's so much more difficult, especially if you're fishing open water wrecks, trying to get the anchor right, trying to get the boat positioned right over top of the wreck with the drift is to where I know Rob and Kevin, they're the masters of slamming the crap out of their boats against the pylons and over the rocks, but you can definitely kind of position yourself around that structure a little better with the kayaks, wouldn't you guys say?
Oh, yeah, we definitely got a advantage to fish around the pylon.
As far as above the water structure, kayaks definitely have an advantage there because we can grind up right up on that, and it's no big deal to us, and boats got to do all sorts of stuff to figure out how they want to fish next to the pylon.
Back in the day, we used to be able to tie up to the pylon. You know, we had the old line on the buoy. You throw it up current, let it float around the buoy, then grab it and tie off, and you kind of pull the boat pretty. And you always brought your buddy's boat too. You always brought your buddy's boat. You never brought yours. You know, gel coat and barnacles don't do well together, so you never use your own boat. But
How big do they get? What size? How large do these fish get?
Our trophy size starts at 23 inches, and so that's they're not real big, but they're strong for how big they are.
They are.
So
oh my God! Like a 15 incher, you'd be super surprised. Like I'll go up to 18. An 18 inch fish doesn't sound very big, but man, you'll be shocked when an 18 incher hooks in you. It will make you struggle the first 10 to 15 feet for sure.
Are they like northern sheephead? I mean, is that what you're kind of this kind of sounds like what you're just or like? Do they look
somewhat,
like that?
But sheephead don't really go in the rocks like togs do. Togs are like professional at it.
Yeah, like we've seen pictures on Facebook where they're literally completely wedge themselves in between two rocks, like. Literally,
I've
no space between it, you know.
I've got a video of one where I released him, like I was close against the rocks, and I released him up against the rocks, and he just went, and wedged right into the rocks. I mean, where I
grabbed
his tail and pulled him out, and he was not coming.
How did that go?
Just did it twice.
Yeah, that's what I said. They're definitely a humbling fish. You will, if you think you've got enough filler with you, if you think you have enough...
You want some more, man. Yeah.
Never have enough.
They're so good at stealing the bait, man. Yep.
What do you fish
for?
It's a
weird set of timing. Either fiddler crab... Well, it depends on the time of year. Summertime, if... I mean, they're not normally super active in the summertime, but you can get them on fiddler crabs. Normally, in the fall and the spring, you know, different types of crustaceans, blue crabs, green crabs, and if you have fiddlers, you can... There's a couple other crustaceans out there that people like to use.
I've got 200 live mole crabs ready to go. Been keeping them alive all summer.
Damn.
200. Yes, sir.
All right. I was like, the ocean.
Hey, Kevin, you need your grass cut, Kevin? You need the house painted? What do you need to do? Let's work a deal here. Let's work a deal. Yeah, they
people
are definitely
caught them on clams and stuff like that too. Though.
Yeah,
so it's just,
probably the best bait is cut blue crab because for one reason you get multiple bites per bait. I mean they'll clean out the shell, but you with a fiddler or even a mole crab you're going to get maybe one shot and they're going to take the bait. But with blue crabs they're going to kind of nip at it a little bit and you get a couple shots.
Okay.
I like fiddler crabs. I like fiddler crabs. Excellent bait. But I like fiddler crabs just because I know there's a certain like rhythm to their bite, and I have a good sense of the timing. And like with blue crab, I feel like it's got to take them a little bit longer, and I always like either swing the hook a little early or I'm too late on it. But with fiddlers, I know instantly. There's one thump next like split second, I'm on it, and I can hook into them. But I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah, there's like a sixth sense you got to have to be able to. Really hook them.
It sounds just like sheephead. It sounds like sheephead fishing. You know,
yeah,
with
yeah,
the, you know.
Sheephead. I don't know.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
but you
gotta.
Yeah, just come on up, Mark. Just get that red drum hooked right, and let him drag your ass right back up here to the bridge.
Yeah.
When you get up to the bridge, let go of your rod, and then we'll hand you over a tog rod. How about that? Just play right up.
You know my computer skills, so we better get me there in the next couple of days so I can still have your number on the dial thing here so I can call you to come and get me. Because at that point,
yeah,
I couldn't get off the best way.
Well, after we get your talk, then we're going to sit you down and teach you how to use the computer. Only guy I know that owns runs and has a great fishing forum website, North Carolina Kayak Fishing Association, and he doesn't even use a text message. I'm like, I'll text you the phone number for tonight. Now just send me an email, he says.
I have a tech guy. I've got a guy.
Got a guy. Everybody's got a cousin in Miami.
I know a guy.
Apparently your guy ain't all that good. You still don't have a background picture on your Facebook.
Oh, coming out of the back.
A little note here. My stepdaughter is here at the beach with us. My stepdaughter is here at the beach with us, and she has assured me she will have that up by Sunday.
We want a background picture of you with a big ribbon fish. That's going to be your picture.
You know what? I'm gonna buy the guys breakfast tomorrow morning. They're gonna be my film crew for the day. So I'm gonna get some good shots.
I want you to know our friendly friend Joe just offered he can take you out on his charter.
I would love it.
Whoa. We like you, Mark. We like you, brother. You're not watching the chat. You don't understand. When you don't catch fish with Joe, you pay twice as much.
Oh,
you are guaranteed a 19-inch fish. You are guaranteed a 19-inch fish.
All right. I left my checkbook at home, so I'll do the best I can with what I got.
Well, you got better luck of figuring out your computer.
I could pay him in honey. How about that? I could pay him in honey.
Yeah. No, very cool. All right, Chris, what do you got? What's going on in the chat room? We're getting close to the top of our hour. Hit what button?
I'm going to hit the button one time. Ready?
Oh, the
boondoggle!
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up. Come find out February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people, and then there's a bunch of kayakers, too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Frickin' boondoggle. And the button is back. The button is back. Well, you got the details, everybody. We'll make sure we got... It seems like a long ways off, but before you know it, President's Day weekend will be here, and we'll all be in Florida.
123 days. It is 100...
Mark Patterson, we got to put you on that list. You need to get your extra vacation day, 123 days away. Bring your butt down to Florida. I know Kevin's coming. Choi, are you planning on making the trip? Rob?
What's that? Sorry.
What are you doing?
I got no. I was
talking
to
the rig. He's
trying to
call
the phone, trying to tell you quiet. Are we talking about the boondoggle? Am I going to boondoggle? Is that the question?
Yes.
That would be a question,
sir. I'm not entirely sure at the moment. I'd love to, but I can't promise. So, we'll
and
see.
I'm not 100% sure either at this point. We have a show that next weekend, and I'm not sure if I can really afford to take 2 weekends off. So I'm not sure if I'm coming down or not.
Which show is that?
Mark?
That the Mid-Atlantic Saltwater Show.
Yeah.
Oh,
Mark,
dude,
Mark, just email me those dates.
I'll email them to you, because you're not getting them any other damn way.
No, Kevin, is that something I'm supposed to go to, dude?
What's that?
Is that something I'm supposed to go to?
This is the one that was in Hampton, the one that was in Richmond last year, remember?
I just got to boost on that one.
Arlisa, he'll buy a couple extra DVDs for you, Kevin, so you can go ahead and get a couple extra bucks.
Well, that'll work.
We're trying to make it happen. Sold out.
If you want to see Tautog, check out the first Kayak Fishing Chesapeake Bay DVD. It's got Tautog on it.
Okay, good tip. That's a good tip. I'll work on that. I'm gonna see if I can't go on the internet and bootleg the drum videos tonight, so I can be ready for tomorrow.
KayakKevin.com.
I got it.
Go to my YouTube one and check out the four reds and three kayakers. That's pretty funny.
That's great.
Is that the over Lee's cussing? Is that the Lee's cussing one?
Yeah.
I love that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's
a classic
right there. We'll have to play that at his when we do the roast for Lee, we'll do that one for sure. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure I'll get more of that this coming up season. The talk season is the Lee show. I've got cameras on him all day long. It's great. Great.
That and the flounder one underneath the Lesnar. The flounder under the Lesnar?
Yeah.
that's one of my favorite Lee ones too. That flounder under the
It's such a good landing too, man. That fish goes crazy.
He jumps
in and blocks it with his left, with his right leg. It comes in. He leaders it back around and stomps on it. Bam!
I have a quick question for Kevin. One more question.
Mm-hmm.
What type of camera? Because you have this awesome. What's that huge camera that you have from behind you? What is that? What is that huge pro looking camera? I mean, my little GoPro sitting up front, you know. And then you've got that. I have camera envy. What's that huge camera you got back there?
Those are just Sony Handycams, high definition Handycams with wide angle lens and big batteries on them. But they're in the housing, in Sony housing. So that's an actual waterproof. With microphones on the outside so I can get audio through the housing. And, those can go completely on the water. So, you know, when they, like on the end of the videos, I've always had the ones that are filmed when the things fall off into the water. So,
how do you activate them? Do you activate them remotely or do they have enough battery life to last?
I leave them running.
The whole time you're
that's
on the water.
That's how he gets all the, that's why he gets all the great shots, man. The other people, we're trying to, you know, time our shots and, he's got him running the whole time, so he's always got, you know, from hook set to landing, all of it. That's why he gets Lee talking all this smack, too.
Yep.
What type of battery is that running off of? I mean,
they're the biggest batteries you can get for the Sony Handycams.
Drop cord.
Interstate deep cycle.
they roughly run about 3 hours, but I have to change them out every 3 hours or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always see that, and I always wanted to know what the heck is that thing? It looks like a giant eye.
Yeah.
It's like what? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I would like to say I'm going to check into that. But I don't have the computer skills to get the video off the thing. So I will have to run with what I got right now.
God.
All right. Well, I think we're at the top of our. I really appreciate you guys. It's been a lot of fun tonight. And again, congratulations, Kevin and Rob. Congratulations, Mark Patterson, on a successful event down there in North Carolina. Doing good things.
Thank you very much.
Keep it up.
Thank you.
You guys, all of you rock. Every one of you, even all of our listeners and chat room clan there. I've been slowly keeping up with them. We went from fishing to cigars to cake. We're all over the place. We're like a drunk on the highway. It's all over the place. Very cool. Upcoming, it's nice and quiet now. Everything's laid back. It's fishing mode here. We got through the TK event. We got through the boondoggle, so now it's just fishing time. Any of my good friends in the Richmond area, I'll be at the... Anybody got... Rob, you been to the new Green Top yet?
Yeah, man, this place is wild, dude. It's
I'll be up there all day Friday, so if you're in town,
yeah,
Rob, come by and say hi.
Yeah, I'll be there Friday.
So anybody up in the Richmond area Friday, I'll be working the Daiwa booth with Scott Castleberry, so come on by, say hi. I'm looking forward to seeing the new store. It'll be pretty fun.
Yeah, it's huge.
So.
They got this alligator chasing the freaking beaver in there, dude. Check it out.
A what?
Yeah, seriously.
An alligator chasing a beaver?
You'll see as soon as you walk in, man.
Yeah, everybody go, what? At the same time on that one.
That might have to be a strong up there for that.
Well, I guess I got to bring my camera for sure now.
You know what? If you take a picture and post it on Facebook, tag me on that one because you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm not kidding. I mean, it's a legitimate thing, but it just sounds awesome, doesn't it? It sounds freaking awesome.
The alligator chasing a beaver. Oh, man. What were you drinking, dude? What were you drinking when you got there?
Good stuff.
Oh, man. I'm going to be walking in there real slow now. I'm going to be on a swivel. I'll send Scott, I'm going to send Castleberry in first. Go on in, check the place out. Scott, I'll be in a minute. I got to make a phone call. Oh, geez. Very cool. All right, everybody. Well, it's the top of the hour. I know everybody's just rushing to go watch the debate. Not me, but anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to call it even on that one. No more. Keep politics out of this radio show. So, you guys, thank you again for calling in, all of you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great week.
Thank
we're
you.
We're almost to the middle.
Thank you.
Like I said, the fishing is definitely on. If you're in this area, I think it's only going to get better, really. So get out there, post them up, let us see your pictures. Anything we can share or help you with, be sure to shoot us a message. Easy for me to say. And we'll see you all. Chris, go ahead and hit some buttons and get us out of here. Thanks again, everyone.
Hey, thanks for all the vote. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Thank you.
Of course, you know, Mark Luger still does do email, too, so you can always email him. But anyways, since Mark said we're keeping politics out here, by all means, vote yes on light rail to Virginia Beach.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey. Anyway, where was I? Tight lines, everybody, no matter where you're fishing. And remember, take your children fishing. They're our next generation anglers. Good night.
Good night, everyone.